What's happening, guys? Welcome to the next episode titled Red, Green, and Beige Flags. This week, we are going to be discussing four crazy stories: divorcing over fertility issues, spilling mom secrets to our daughter, past relationship secrets, huge red flags, and sneaking leftovers to my ex. They be crazy. So stay tuned and we'll get into them. But first, we got to recap last week's episodes and go over which one is the fake. If you're joining us for the first time, part of the premise of this podcast is that we're going to give you four stories every week, at least, sometimes more. One of them is going to be completely fake, generated by ChatGPT. And so it's your job as the listener to determine which one is the fake and then let us know on socials. Come through and let us know which one you think is the fake.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
It's crazy.
Last episode was really good too, though.
Agreed.
Yeah, it was super fun. Last week, we had Ashton and Ryan on as guests, and we had a great time. And one of them guessed the fake correctly, which was Ashlyn. She guessed it right.
Shout out.
Which one was the fake?
The fake one was the guy with the shoplifting problem.
Oh.
It was the C-level executive that had to steal from the time that he was a little kid. That was a couple of different ideas in my head, and ChatGPT really put the cherry on top. But shout out to Ashlyn for getting it right. Shout out to any of you if you got it right.
Yeah.
I feel like that one would have been tougher, but I haven't really checked the comments.
I was shocked that she got it right. So far, no one else has, but it's crazy. Little secret here, and I won't say anything else. So a little sliver, a little secret. Joe got that story based off someone he knows.
It's true. Somebody that used to compulsively steal one of the items listed in the story.
Yeah, and they could easily afford it. So it's pretty crazy.
That's a real thing. People do that. People will steal just to steal. Yep. It's nuts.
So sad.
But should we recap the other ones? We had the story of the cross-dresser.
Yeah.
Cross-dresser. House watcher.
Yes.
That could have been fake. Like, that is so sketched. It's real. OP, who had her husband pass away and the best friend started coming around and trying to like make his move. That was very real. That sounds real anyway. Yeah. And then there was the one where the OP, her husband, and the affair partner, they had twins and they both died in a car accident. That was real.
I was really hoping that was going to be the fake, but it wasn't.
All the family being like, no, you should take care of your cheating husband's kids because he's gone now.
That's insane. It's crazy.
So sketch. But anyway, that was a super fun episode.
Yes.
Thank you to Ashlyn and Ryan for coming on.
Yes.
And we've got some more fun guests coming up that you guys will be able to see. It's going to be a good time.
No, we're going to have a really, 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 really fun time. Speaking of fun times, Joe and I just got back from San Diego and that was really fun. We went and saw Hardy.
That's right.
If you are a diehard Hardy fan like us, we love you. And if you're not, we still love you. But we love Hardy. We have loved him from the beginning. And it was so amazing seeing him live.
Yeah, it was super cool. If you guys are music fans, I'm a diehard. Like, I'm like passionate music guy. I've always loved Hardy for the last like 6 years or so. There was other guys that were on the tour that were awesome too. McCoy Moore opened.
Yeah.
And he signed a record deal last Monday. So brand new. Go check his stuff out. It's McCoy Moore.
Yeah.
Steven Wilson Jr. opened. Coe Wetzel was also on the tour, but he had to leave because his kid was born.
Yeah.
So that's super exciting for him. We didn't get to see Coe. We're a little bummed about that, but congrats to him on having the baby. And McCoy Moore, Steven Wilson Jr. were insane. Especially Steven Wilson Jr. Then Hardy's production. If you get a chance, it's the Jim Bob World Tour.
Yeah.
Snag tickets if he comes through because it was a party. The whole production was just insane. And Hardy can sing and then he can scream and he sounds so good. And he put on a killer show for so long.
Yeah, the whole time it was going so ham. I was so impressed. I was like, how is this dude not dying? But it was really, really fun. So anyways, yeah, we're back now. We're excited. We're looking forward to this week's episode. Thanks for tagging along and let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Red, green, and beige flags. The first story is a goodie. Might be my favorite one.
Personally, I don't know about you guys, but when I am listening to stories, I just need the snack. I need I need a snack. I need a candy. I need something. So let me just grab it real fast. Oh, that's so much better.
Much better, except for I need one of these.
I need this one. Guys, I hope I'm saying this right, but Kathy has sent us some candy, and it's no animal gelatin. It's vegan, and it's so much better for you than just regular candy you're going to find at the gas station. It is delicious. Look them up. It's Katjes, K-A-T-J-E-S.
We are so excited because we are going to be doing a giveaway with Katjes USA. We're teaming up with the best vegan gummies on the planet to give two lucky followers a sweet surprise. Here's how to enter. Follow Internet Frenzy and Katjes USA on Instagram. You're going to go to our giveaway post on our Instagram and like and save the post. And then all you're going to do is tag three friends in the comments, and that's it. You'll be entered to win Katjes candy shipped straight to your door, and winners will be announced the following Tuesday. Don't miss your chance to snag the sweets.
The candy is delish. So if you're a candy fiend like me, get you some Katjes. But listen. Story number one,
yeah,
coming right up. And if you food gasm again, it's like, it's fine. It happens. Internet frenzy, electric love, so trendy. Bites and bits, we're blending. One click, no pretending. All right. This one comes from Best of Redditor Updates. And there's only one update. That's a good one. Buckle up. Am I the a-hole for divorcing my husband for being infertile?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say, brace yourself. I, 29F, have been with my husband, 29M, for 6 years, married for 3. We both come from family-oriented backgrounds and have always wanted kids. We're financially stable and can provide a child an amazing life. We've officially started trying for a baby in early 2023. After months of nothing, I started to get worried. I wanted to get our fertility checked then, but he said I was being a worry rat, and let's wait a year of trying before we get any testing. A year was in February, and I scheduled our testing then. The results shocked us. We were both ignorant and assumed that I was the one with the issues, if there was one. I mainly see women talking about being infertile, so it didn't cross our mind it could be something else. The doctor calls us in, and one of the worst days of our lives tells us that my husband has a condition called azoospermia, meaning he has no sperm. In his case, they say that the surgery to extract directly from his testicle doesn't seem that it will yield high results, but it wouldn't hurt to try. My husband and I were devastated. I wanted us to explore all routes, him taking the medication and getting the surgery, and if that fails, either a sperm donor or adoption. I understand this is life-changing news, especially for my husband, but since February, he's refused to do anything about it. He said he doesn't want to take meds and get the surgery if it will be a waste like the doctor thinks. That using a sperm donor makes him feel emasculated, and he doesn't want to raise my child with another man's DNA, even if it's from a relative of his. And that adoption isn't something that he's ever wanted. I have no one to talk to about this in real life since he doesn't want his diagnosis out there. It's been affecting me really bad mentally. There's nothing more I want than to be a mom. I've begged him to go to therapy, and he refuses, saying he accepts it. I'm the one that isn't. Every time I try to start a conversation, he shuts it down by saying that we will never have a child together. He will never be able to be a real dad, so to move on. I know what I want for myself, and that's motherhood. I'm willing to go down any avenue to motherhood, but he doesn't want to. I realized this past summer that he's right. We will never have a child together. I had one final conversation with him since he avoids the topic like the plague last night. I sat him down and said I empathize with him about this life-changing diagnosis and that he doesn't want to get the surgery, which I respect, or use a donor or adopt, but that I want to be a mom and I'm not getting any younger. And if he isn't willing to explore any avenue or go to fertility therapy, then I want a divorce. He broke down saying he can't believe I would be willing to walk away from our marriage over this. That if the shoe was on the other foot, he would never leave me for being infertile. He says I'm a horrible person and that I'm punishing him for something he can't control. I told him it's not for being infertile, I can work with that, but that it's because he's refusing to go down any route to become a parent, knowing that's something we both wanted. He says that I never loved him, otherwise I would never contemplate divorce over kids that don't exist yet. He cried about it afterwards and refused to let me console him. I feel so horrible. But what else can I do? Continue begging him to change his mind or speak to a professional? He only wants bio kids and refuses to do the surgery because it's too much prep. daily vitamins, meds, no hot showers, etc. Am I the a-hole?
I don't know. I think he's being more the a-hole. Okay, but also, I changed my mind. She needs to give him time to, like, really come to terms with all of this, because that's huge.
How much time?
At least a year.
Because they're 29.
Yeah, at least a year. I just think it's too much for him. Like, he just found this, like, terrible news that's going to crush him. He doesn't feel like a man. He doesn't want to do it any other way. He needs time to, like, come to terms with it before they do even discuss, like, adoption or the sperm donor one. I understand that. I feel like that would be really, really hard. But adoption, that's something where it's like, she's definitely compromising at that point, because she's not going to be able to, like, carry the baby and experience that type of whatever, experience motherhood.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think?
Well, my knee-jerk reaction was like, dude, sack up. Like, when we went through our fertility struggles, in my mind, like, I was thinking, okay, fine, let's adopt. Like, I was like, whatever we have to do to start this process, like, let's do it. Is it not ideal? Like, right, it's not necessarily ideal. It's not what you call for. It's not what you imagine growing up. But it's also a really good, positive thing. And so, yeah, I get it that it could take time to come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
But the part that I was missing that the update is going to point out is, like, this is squarely on him. Like, it's not like a mystery why they're not having kids. And so there's kind of this big elephant in the room that's, like, totally affecting his thought pattern and what he's doing. So we'll read the update, but before we go on to the update, those of you that are listening, go to our socials right now. Tell us what you think. Give your feedback. Enter the convo, because I want to hear it. But there's a lot of good comments. Best of Redditor updates is the best place to deep dive. So you can go and read the story yourself if you'd like to. Read all of the comments and kind of the feedback that people are giving. A lot of it has to do with, like, dude, sorry, but this guy kind of have to hold a mirror up. Like, this is something he's going to have to come to terms with. And the update comes 8 months later. So the final judgment is that OP, with this desire to be a mother, is not the a-hole.
Oh, okay.
And 8 months later, we get an update.
Oh. Is she pregnant?
Let us find out. Or she's gone and maybe she's pregnant with the next guy's kid.
That's what I thought.
Hello, everyone. I posted this last year and received so much amazing feedback that genuinely changed my life. Since no one in my personal life knew what was going on, being able to talk about it and get so much amazing advice was great. A lot of the people in the comments opened my eyes up to the possibility that he was refusing the surgery, since that would be the final nail in the coffin. That if it failed, that would be the end, and that could be the reason he was refusing to do anything. I took some time after posting that to do some self-reflection on the whole scenario and to go at the situation differently. We spoke about it extensively, and I told him about how I completely understand his fears in not wanting to do the surgery, but I really want us to try a fertility therapist, and we could just do one session. It didn't have to be a deep commitment. He agreed, and that therapy session went amazing. We both spoke separately and then together, and we did 5 sessions overall. Shout out therapy. You guys were right. My husband was scared to try anything because he didn't want it to fail. He was pre-rejecting the rejection. He opened up to me about a lot of fears and anxiety about his diagnosis. We deeply connected afterwards and got even closer as a couple. I know. Shout out therapy. That's so good.
That's so great.
One day I saw vitamins on his dresser and realized he'd been taking them without even telling me. I was so happy. We did another sperm analysis and they saw 2 sperm. We were so happy. Then, to my complete and utter surprise, my husband forwards me an email. He scheduled a consultation for the micro-T surgery in December. It went well, and he was approved for surgery this February. We went in with low expectations and to still be happy at the progress he's made, but they were able to get 3 sperm. My husband and I were ecstatic and couldn't stop crying. Everything went well at his 2-week checkup. Best ever. Now we're in the process of IVF. I started taking medication to do my egg retrieval right after his surgery, and so far I have 12 eggs. Last month, we just found out we have 2 embryos.
Yay!
Both healthy, 1 boy and 1 girl. Our implantation date for our daughter was May 1st, and I tested positive a few days ago. We are so, so happy. I'm so happy that we were able to get through this bump in the road. This has been amazing. I'm so happy my husband's fear and my sadness to this fear was something we were able to get over. We have both extensively apologized to each other, him for shutting down and wanting to give up, and me for not being more understanding to the life-changing news. Thank you guys again for all the advice you gave me.
That was so cute. I love that story.
Is that the best one ever?
Yes, that's probably one of my favorite ones you've ever told because that just hits so close to home for me.
That's it. That's infertility sucks.
It sucks so bad. It feels so hopeless.
And it's one thing that's interesting that I feel like this story points out really like poignantly is that for a lot of women, not all, but for a lot of women, that desire to have a baby is like, it goes deep.
Yeah.
That maternal instinct is like something that is just innate in so many women. And so even though it is hard for us men, it's a totally different thing. And this kind of pointed that out. He shut his feelings off. He's like, nope, this sucks. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. And her longing like led her to the point where she didn't have any other option. She had to do something else to become a mom. And ultimately that led to them getting the help that they needed, the therapy. Another therapy success story. Go to therapy, guys. And honestly, we love therapy.
Yeah.
We love everything about it. Big believers. We're just going to move on to the next one. And I'm sorry in advance, guys. It's all downhill from here.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, that was a green flag.
So this one comes from Am I the A-hole? Am I the A-hole for breaking up with my new girlfriend because she said her past is none of my business? So I recently got together with my now ex. Things were going good during the dating stage. Anyways, she introduced me to some of her friends, including a male friend of hers. She had other male friends, but this one in particular made me feel uncomfortable with how he acted with my new girlfriend. So I asked my girlfriend if there was any history between them. My girlfriend then says, "That is none of your business. My past is none of your business." Honestly, I've been here before. Another ex I had did this BS and cheated on me. So I told her we were done right then and there. I don't think she expected me to actually break up with her then. She followed me to my car and said, "We can talk about this," but I told her no. If she's going to be like that, it's better if we are together. I'll be honest, I kind of forced myself to act like I didn't care and can walk away like nothing. Like I'm not hurting because I broke up, but I am.
Ugh. I have so many thoughts. So many thoughts. First of all, to address her.
Yeah.
Massive red flag. Like, what do you guys think? If you start a new relationship, and you're in a group setting and all of a sudden there's this weird chemistry between like your now girlfriend and somebody else, you'd kind of be like, I'm not a jealous person by nature. So like this is like on a spectrum, right? There's people have different feelings on this kind of stuff. But if you're aware of it, if something feels off and you can't even ask about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, "Hey, have you guys dated before?" And who knows? Like, I'm thinking in a worst case scenario, if OP was like the super controlling type and like really jealous type, then I could see her being like, "I don't want to go down this road. Like, I don't want to go and discuss all this stuff just for you to be like worried about everything." But he doesn't sound that way in the way that he wrote the post. I feel like a little context is missing, but either way, you should be able to openly discuss your past relationships, especially if
they're like, still in your life. If you're still in that circle, 1000%. Yeah, no. Whether he's controlling or not, I feel like there is no reason at all that you should not disclose that.
No, and for different contexts, we come from a very different background, a different whole thing. Like, imagine being our age now and you're living in some big city and you have these big circles of friends. Like, you're going to run into people that have been with other people. Like, it's a foreign concept to us because we got married very young. And like, for instance, I didn't have a circle when I came here.
Yeah.
So it's just if you get to be older and you're dating and you live in this area and like you have lots of mutuals, I could just see it being a little bit more complicated is the way that I would put it.
The problem though is that she wasn't willing to say, "Oh yeah, like we dated," or "Oh yeah, we hooked up," or whatever. It was like, none of your business. And he's sitting here like, okay, well, there's clearly a chemistry. Like, I'm not stupid. It's not like there's something here. So did you guys used to date? Like, why are you guys so chummy?
Yeah, no, and that's, I agree. That is a massive red flag.
Yeah.
It's, you should be able to express it. I just was making space for the fact that it could be more complicated than just like, hey, like, yeah, I didn't know your ex. So like, why, it'd be fine. You could tell me anything about your guys' relationship. It's not going to affect our relationship. But yeah, it's like they, if they are friends, they've been in the same circles or whatever. And like, it could totally change things if he was just like, we are never seeing him again. You dated him, so we're never going to be around him again. Then I could see her being like, okay, well, that sucks because then I'm going to lose like my group.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing. But regardless, it's, I'm still on OP's side when it comes to like, that's not chill.
Yeah.
And I love that he's like, all right, I know what I need to know now. Like, I'm out.
I love that he just dumped her right then and there. This girl sounded like a freaking like pompous little bit. Whoa, sorry about that. I stopped.
Wow, you should the real word, guys. Put this in your mouth. How about?
Yeah, I
mean, pompous little unicorn.
Much better.
Mm-hmm. No, but he it takes a level of like maybe just self-esteem. Like, it takes a lot to be in the beginning stages of a relationship and be like, okay, that's enough of a red flag for me to be like, nah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And to each their own on whether or not that is, if that calls for breaking up. I just think if you can't be open with your partner, especially from the beginning, like, what do you have?
One of the comments on here, it said from Throw the Clown Away 20, says OP isn't really concerned about their past. He's worried about the potential present.
Or future. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that was kind of funny though, because when I read that, I also thought about the girlfriend. She's not so much worried about like the past and having to tell him about it. Is worried that once she tells him, then the present or future is going to have to change. Because if she was hooking up with him, it's not like he's going to be cool with them all hanging out, like you said.
Or, yeah, I mean, and everyone's different with that kind of stuff. Truly, everyone has different levels of, like, what they are comfortable with. But starting out with lying doesn't work. Or starting out with concealing the truth does not work.
Yeah.
For the long term.
Yeah, for sure.
And something, it's like she was point blank withholding information. It's none of your business who I've dated. It's like, okay, well, if you have dated this guy and you want to still hang out, let's start out by you explaining what the nature of your relationship was. And like, I'm not saying that you're gonna have to destroy your friend group. Let's just be open with each other. If you guys did date, that is fine, because you had a past before we got together. We're in our late 20s, early 30s. Yes, you have dated other people.
And also just be respectful. Like, when we're all together, I don't want to be looking at you guys being like, wow, they have so much chemistry together. You're not thinking that unless they're actually like actively.
Well, and he didn't even say that.
But having a good old time.
I said the chemistry part, but yes.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he didn't say anything about chemistry. He just said that one of the guys, like, he noticed.
Oh, made me feel uncomfortable with how he acted with my new girlfriend. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what that was. Yeah, well, that's my story. Red flag, beige flag, green flag.
Oh, major red.
Yeah?
Major red flag.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's no question. It's open or bust. This one comes from, am I the asshole? Am I the asshole for telling my daughter that her mom cheated on me when my daughter said my new girlfriend looks like an OnlyFans chick? Throwaway account and fake names. I, 49M, got divorced from my wife, Emily, 49F, because she cheated on me with multiple men. We have a son and a daughter. Our son, 22M, has always been closer to his mom, and our daughter, 19F, has always been closer to me. Not knowing why we got divorced, the kids took their mom's side. I recently started dating Lisa, 54F. She has a fun personality, she's smoking hot, and she dresses very fun. Oh. When I introduced Lisa to my kids, Nick took a liking to... Oh, sorry. Nick is the boy, Skylar's the girl. When I introduced Lisa to my kids, Nick took a liking to her while Skylar looked annoyed. Days later, Skylar said that Lisa looks like an OnlyFans chick. If you knew Skylar, you would be shocked that she would use that as a way to insult another woman. I told her that her mom, Emily, was the one who cheated on me and that I met Lisa after the divorce. Skylar just said, oh, and she got quiet. But the next day, my wife, Emily, confronted me. I reminded her that I never promised to keep her cheating a secret. She said that I implied that it would be a secret based on the fact that I never said whether or not I would tell our kids. Am I the asshole?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's the asshole because he obviously had never told the kids that the mom cheated. And he just, like, there's a reason why. And then he just, like, popped off and was like, you think my girlfriend's an OnlyFans chick? Well, your mom cheated on me. So who's the OnlyFans chick now? And the sister just being like, the daughter being like, ouch, that hurt. Like, that's just so asshole. Like, that was asshole behavior. It was not logically, like, it just was not emotionally mature at all to respond that way.
That's fair. That is fair to say he could have handled the situation way better. But also, like, what a crazy life that this mom lives where the kids take her side. She cheated on dad,
yeah.
Yet the kids still support her. And dad's just like, believe what you want, kids. Tear my heart out. Stomp it on the ground. But I'm going to keep your mom's secret for some reason.
Yeah, he doesn't need to keep the secret. It's just the way he went about finally telling what it was.
Yeah, he could have done it in much better terms. But also, he mentions being surprised because his daughter is not the type that would say something like that. So it was like a lashing out behavior from her that he was just like, whoa.
He probably thought the mom was telling her that.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be like that retaliation of like, well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
And so there is an edit. It's a short one. And it's kind of all over the place, but we'll still read it. Something of an update since I posted. Even though my daughter is in her bedroom in my house, I messaged her because she said she doesn't want to see anymore. This is where it gets weird. It says she doesn't want to see anymore. I thought maybe he meant see me, but yeah. Then contextually, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So it then goes on to say, she sent me a very, very long message she had written beforehand. In the message, my daughter admitted that her mom and her maternal aunt said those kinds of things about Lisa. So the mom and her sister are hating on dad's new girlfriend, which like, get a life, dude. You cheated on this guy. Let him move on. And yeah. It's your family get together on Sunday night. Like, that's the least of your worries.
Yeah.
Move on.
Unless she really is, like, not a great influence for the kids. It doesn't matter at that point.
Oh, well, let's talk about influence. She cheated on dad multiple times, and that's just a secret.
Yeah.
She said she's embarrassed as she repeated those awful things. She said that she thought that I was the one who cheated on her mom. She said she thought I had cheated on her mom with Lisa. She said she's not mad at me. She said that she's mad at her mom. She said Lisa seems like a wonderful woman and that she wants to talk about this face to face, but not anytime soon. She said she'll tell me when she's up to talking about it face to face, when she thinks she can do it without crying. So the daughter's banged up here. The daughter is like, she's feeling bad because she regurgitated the crap that mom said. And then she comes to find out that the reason her parents got divorced was because of mom. And so, and I mean, she's
dad was cheating.
Yep. With his new girlfriend,
Lisa, the OnlyFans girl. That's not an OnlyFans girl. And she's just fun.
She just is 54 and single and
smoking hot
dating. But yeah, I was like, wow, that's unfortunate for this young girl. She's 19. So it's like, she's old enough to, you know, to know the truth.
Yeah.
But young enough to maybe not be able to process it very well on her own, that would rock her world.
That's so sad.
And yeah, the big major a-holes in the story, in my opinion, are the mom and the aunt.
Yeah.
The mom, just because of the whole story. Like, I don't know. What do you guys think? I want your feedback on if you've either been through a divorce where there was
cheating.
Yeah, infidelity, or just what your perspective is on it. Like, if I tried to put myself in that situation, if our kids were that old, at some point, I feel like we would probably have a conversation with them together.
Yeah.
About why our relationship's not going to work. They're old enough to be like, hey, look, and people make mistakes. I like, whether it was me or you, like, let's just say hypothetically, I'm in OP shoes. If you had cheated, be like, look, this doesn't make your mom a bad person. It just shows that we have differences. And there's like, this is something, our lives are all going to change. But you guys are old enough now to be included in this. We want to support you with your feelings, whatever the case may be, but not shielding them, not letting them just come up with their own ideas.
Right. That's like a big no-no for sure.
And yeah, it's the mom just has no problem. She's like, you know, maybe her flavor of the week has changed. Maybe she's not dating anybody anymore. So she's just She's just mad that she doesn't have her old husband.
Oh, yeah. She's so salty. She still loves him for sure.
Well, that's she messed up.
Oh, my gosh. That's a crazy story. I feel really bad for the daughter.
Poor daughter.
Am I the a-hole for flipping out after I found out my boyfriend was giving our leftovers to his ex? So, my boyfriend and I have been living together for like 8 months now. He's honestly been amazing in a lot of ways. Super thoughtful, super chill, very like emotionally mature. Like, he's the kind of guy who insists on doing the dishes every night after we cook. And I remember thinking, wow, that's such a green flag. Love a man who handles his business, you know? Anyway, a few nights ago, I come home early from work. Surprise! I was gonna bring him matcha and just like vibe. And I walk in right as he's packing up our leftover pasta into a Tupperware, which is whatever, we always save leftovers. But then I see him like stuffing it into his backpack. So I'm like, where is that going? And he freezes, looks at me like I just caught him smuggling diamonds. After some awkward mumbling, he goes, I didn't want to tell you because I knew you'd overreact, but I've been bringing our leftovers to Natalie. Natalie? His ex? I'm sorry, what? He says she's been going through it lately. Apparently money's tight and she misses his cooking and just wants to make sure she eats. Like, he's acting like he's the food security department of LA or something. I literally stared at him and was like, you're feeding your ex out of our fridge with food I literally helped cook? And he goes, babe, you're blowing this way out of proportion. It's not like I'm sleeping with her. I'm just making sure she's okay. So I kind of lose it. Like, not screaming or anything, but I told him it was wildly disrespectful, secretive, and honestly super weird. He got all defensive and said, I'm being selfish and uncompassionate. And that just because someone's an ex doesn't mean they don't deserve help. Now he's mad at me for making it about me and says it's just food. And I should be proud he's not like other guys who ghost their exes. Am I the a-hole for feeling totally violated by this? Or, like, am I being dramatic?
What in the hell? I don't even know how to react to that. How?
Like, who is this guy?
I have so many questions. I have so many concerns.
He is still so in love with her.
Like, he's either still has feelings for her. I don't know. Is it because if he's not cheating on her, is he literally just like showing up to her doorstep and placing Tupperware on the doorstep and then dipping?
Honey, he is 1000% in love with her, and if he's not sleeping with her now, he will very, very soon.
It is such a wild concept for him to say, like, she just kind of misses my cooking.
Like, what?
Like, why are you talking to her?
So is she missing your cooking, or is she going through a hard time and she has no money that she can't feed herself?
Well, and like, if it is just falling on hard times, like, there's a world where people in adult relationships, maybe there's like not boundaries being crossed. If he's just looking out for her, if there's still contact and like she's going through a hard time, it's whatever. Sneaking it into a backpack, sneaking the leftovers, like, I'm sorry, sneaking is never the answer.
Never.
So just being like, oh, like, I'm gonna, she freaking loves my spaghetti. Like, she's going to be so stoked on this since she can't buy her own meals.
That's so weird.
It's freaking weird.
It's bizarre. I think this is 1000% a red flag. And yeah, maybe he is just a really, really good guy just looking out for people. But I don't see him delivering meals to the homeless.
Well, you know, maybe he does that on the weekends.
No, he doesn't.
He's maybe not.
Busy with Natalie.
I mean, that's frowned upon in general. Don't sneak around. If you're going to do something nice for somebody, maybe include your significant other.
And if they're not comfortable with it, then they're not comfortable with it.
Right. Boundaries are boundaries. Yeah. Like, you kind of have to respect them, even if you don't like them.
No, you have to. That's a crazy one. That, like, gets me riled up.
Something to be said about the fact that he has his stuff together enough to be cooking every night.
True.
And cleaning up afterwards, too.
That's rare.
Like, would you trade that for dropping off food at the ex-girlfriend's house?
Hell no.
So you'd rather cook every night, clean it all up every night?
Yeah. I would dump him so fast.
Like, stop feeding your ex.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, that's my story.
Wow. Yeah, he's the a-hole for sure.
Yeah, he is.
I don't think she's the a-hole. I think that she has every reason to be like, why is he talking to her?
And she needs to go on his phone and look at literally every little thing, because there's no way they don't still have something going on.
You guys, let us know which one you think is fake. Comment on YouTube. Comment on our socials. Instagram, TikTok.
Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, podcast. That's it.
Follow us wherever you get your podcasts. It's weird. The podcast community is so separate from the social community.
Yeah.
And the YouTube community is even separate. There's a little more overlap with YouTube and socials, but we love all you. Thanks for being here. Let us know which one you think is the fake. For the shout out to Katya's, the candy is delicious. If you want to get your own, the link to their website is going to be in the show notes of the podcast. And we're also going to include it on the YouTube. So if you're just, you're listening, you'll know where to go. If you're seeing this on socials,
don't forget, you're going to want these Katya's gummies. I can promise you that. So go to our Instagram at Internet Frenzy and enter the giveaway. It's so easy, and I promise you, you will not regret it.
Internet Frenzy's on 3, 1, 2, 3. Internet Frenzy. Internet Frenzy. Electric love, so trendy. Bites and bits, we're blending. No pretending.